everyone, and welcome to Sociology in the News. My name is Jordan.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Mason.
And today we're going to be talking about a dating app for students at the University of Michigan that doubles as a research tool. Sociologist Elizabeth Brooke and psychologist Amy Gordon have teamed up to design Revel, a dating app. So dating apps collect a treasure trove of data on relationships, but the companies usually don't share the data with scientists. So Brooke and Gordon formed a research team and designed their own dating app for students at the University of Michigan called Revel.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when you think about it in terms of in these dating apps, often people have to learn and figure out what to say, or because you're not like face to face. And so I think it's really interesting to, and hopefully this will be a good opportunity for us to learn more about how people figure out how to, what to say to each other, as well as what gets results in terms of what people want.
But what, yeah, so how does this app work? How is it different from other dating apps that you see on mainstream apps? Yeah, and the only thing different about this dating app is that users are prompted to sign a research consent form, and they're asked a lot of questions that other dating apps often do not propose to users. For instance, once they start matching with people and chatting with everyone, the app will prompt them to fill out some surveys on how excited they are about that person, how similar they think they are, and why they chose to say yes or no to a match. How does this make everyone feel? Would you be in a study like this?
I think it's interesting. I think it's really unique that instead of the data just returning to the, you know, corporations who are creating these apps, the data also goes back to the users.
Yeah, and I think it could be potentially useful for like helping people in the future that use apps, as well as like it could potentially be useful just to understand kind of the social process of what's happening within these apps.
Yeah, kind of like it would be exciting to study relationships over time, and how people, the patterns that people use when they come into relationships.
Yeah, and I always found it like interesting of like on an app, how do you like, because you have to just go by pictures. It's a very different, like, I feel like it's very different than in person. And so like it is kind of different this generation versus other generations where cell phones weren't even a thing. And so it's kind of, the dating market's just drastically changed for how couples meet, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because dating apps have often caused a lot of anxiety in, I guess, younger generations. And Brooke has many ideas on what we could do to fix these anxieties and make things more accessible and easier for people. But oftentimes these larger apps don't give access to their data, or they oftentimes just don't listen to it. Oftentimes, yeah, these companies are just not willing to implement their ideas, and so making their own app to study this could have major policy implications in terms of how these dating apps, the affordances and the ways that they're structured and how people communicate, might make dating a little bit less anxiety-provoking.
Yeah, so for the two of them, the profit is the science. They want to use the science to help people have better